Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. Like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, hey, by the way, let me remind you guys several things about Right Side. We are indeed a business unto ourselves. Right Side Media is the parent company of Right Side Radio. Right Side Media has other mediums to which we send out the good word about conservatism in today's modern world. Let me just encourage you, go check out our website, rightsideradio.org. All our stuff's on there. And the latest edition of the brand new video podcast comes out tomorrow. I believe there's like 7 episodes that are up now. But the video podcast is called The Right Philosophy, and it is filmed at my house. Love doing it. We're really proud of the quality of the production. But yeah, the next episode of The Right Philosophy is available tomorrow. You can find it on the website at rightsideradio.org. We also are like hitting epic levels right now for downloads of the podcasted audio version of the show. So you guys are all listening live right now. Some of y'all are streaming it online. We got folks watching it on Rumble and Twitter and all of them.
Yeah, Twitch
and YouTube, streaming audio and video. Mm-hmm. But every day after the show, the big rig takes the show and converts it into audio podcast form, breaks it up into pieces so you can get smaller portions if you want to. Cleans up the audio, takes out the ads. Posted up there, and we're over a quarter million downloads now.
Yep, 227,000.
227,000. Okay, we're not quite to a quarter million. We're close. 227,000 downloads, though. That's cool. Mm-hmm. We hit that 250 mark, then we're at a quarter million. I look forward to it. That'll be soon, though, based on the downloads we're getting.
Yeah.
Good Lord. So all that stuff's available to you. You can find it at almost every downloadable place in the world that carries podcasts. Check it all out. And then I also write a piece that comes out in about 18 different news outlets around the state. 1819 News published it yesterday. But every single article I've written is up on the blog site on the website, rightsideradio.org. All that to say, we love what we do, but we do it for y'all because without you, it wouldn't be worth the time, right? All right, let me jump in. Next topic. Okay, listen, this really hit me. Yesterday, I've forgotten what I was watching. There was something being done on one of the news outlets. I was watching the news last night when I got home from the show or something. I forget. Anyway, at some point it occurred to me, wait a minute. Okay. Blackface is a big deal. And we're going to talk about what that means here in a minute. Blackface some would call it cultural appropriation. It's really mocking. It's lampooning. It's lampooning a race of people. So blackface, yeah. Not good. And yet, exactly what blackface does is what drag queens do. So why is one bad and the other okay? Why do they hate the one and love the other when both of them are people who are dressing up and lampooning an entire sector of our society and making a mockery of them? And one's okay and one's not. I mean, let's think about that. The level of anger and angst that we see levied at anybody who may remotely have been tied to an incident of blackface is like, you know, next level. And by the way, sometimes the accusations get thrown out there, and I'll tell you some examples here in a minute, when they weren't even true, but they were ready to ruin someone's life over it because it was that important. It was that, you know, invigorating. And yet, you got drag queens that have their own TV shows. You got drag queen story hours where they're trying to promote it to little kids. You got drag parades. And what do? They're men pretending to be women by exaggerating every characteristic physically that they can, and then pretending that they've got some kind of behavioral that is like nothing like any woman I would ever want to be around acts like. And then, oh, by the way, they put on this overly sexualized view of what all these exaggerated characteristics really are. They are lampooning women in a big way. Where are the women's rights activists right now? They're nowhere to be seen. You about to say something?
Yeah, I feel like the people that do blackface are the people that are trying to make a derogatory statement. And then the people that are dressing up as women, you know, that's who they claim to be.
Some of them do. Some of them are just doing it because it's a kick. They call it an art form.
Yeah, true.
Well, you know, the minstrel shows with blackface, that was considered an art form back in its day. Still wrong. But the reality is drag is not an art form. It's a mockery of women. And that's what we got to get back to. If we're going to be angry about one, we got to be equally angry about the other. So, okay, all right, let me jump on this. Story from this one came out of Canada. It's a Canadian broadcasting company. There's a book that came out, or is about to come out. It just came out, the article came out June 2nd, so this is about, 9 days ago? A Canadian journalist named Sam Forster has written a new book. He calls it Seven Shoulders. But to write the book, he disguised himself as a black man and traveled around the United States. Because he says, last summer I disguised myself as a black man and I traveled throughout the United States to document how racism persists in American society. Noble gesture, right? You may have already figured out Sam Forster is white. He's a white Canadian dude. He's about as white as they come. Oh boy, he's like so white he's clear. Okay. Sam Forster says that he literally put on a wig, contact lenses, and dyed his skin and went around the United States so he could write a book about what he believes is racism in modern society. I don't know why he didn't do it in Canada. He had to come to the United States, apparently, because that's the only place that racism exists. The reaction, according to the article here from the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, was swift and brutal, with social media users expressing their angst, their anger and amusement, and confusion. Saying things like Zuby, who's a rapper and a podcaster, he said, it's hard to simultaneously draw the ire of black people, white people, conservatives, and liberals, but I think you've just done it. Several black scholars chimed in, saying that Forster's use of blackface is dehumanizing and troublesome. So let me get this straight. He's even doing it because he wants to support the cause, so to speak. But it's dehumanizing and troublesome. So a guy named George D.I. from the Center for Integrated Anti-Racism Studies at the University of Toronto, he came out and said, there are black scholars who write on these issues. They've said all that needs to be said. Why do we need a white person to do that? He wrote it because of a book that I remember having to, it was mandatory reading when I was in high school, that's a book, Black Like Me, came out in, 1961, thereabouts? Black Like Me, where a white guy did the exact same thing, disguised himself as a black man, went around the South, and then wrote a book about it and offered perspectives that, too many people weren't seeing or paying attention to. But in this particular instance, it's not allowed. You can't do that. You're a white guy. We don't need your help. We got this. Thank you very much. Do not use blackface. That is considered to be somehow, taking away from anybody in our race for a white guy to do this. But then you got situations where, okay, that one was designed. That one was purposeful. And that one was even designed to allegedly to sort of, like I said, help the racism cause or anti-racism cause. Then you have something like Sephora. The makeup store, February of this year, three white teenage girls were videotaped in Sephora and they put makeup on their faces. Witnesses said they were pretending like they had blackface on and they were making animal noises. If they did, it's wrong. They allegedly also had an adult chaperone with them and the adult didn't take action. I'm saying right now, raise your kids better than that. TikTok video spread of it. Sephora says they kicked them out of the store. Sephora's top priority is to create a welcoming and inclusive shopping experience. We are deeply disappointed by the behavior of these shoppers. I got news. You don't control the shoppers. But okay. They kicked them out of the store. But it went viral. Why? Because it's a big deal. I'm not defending these girls at all. I'm not defending their adult chaperone. Shouldn't have happened. But here's the thing. It went viral because people care about this. And yet, we have a double standard. Let me take a phone call real quick. I got about a minute and a half for the break. Vic from Killen. Hey, Vic, how you doing?
Hey, Phil. Hold on. I had you on speaker because I was listening to your melodious voice.
Okay. All right. Thank you. What you got?
Okay, man. I do appliance repair. I'm a former Marine. I did 8 years from 79 to 87, joined the Marine Corps on my 17th birthday. And we're dealing with all this crud. But when I came in the door today, my wife told me a joke. and I wanted to share. I said, I don't ever call radio shows.
All yeah, right.
I don't. I think one time I called Oliver North because I was in on the Grenada thing. You know?
All right. Well, I appreciate your service, man. What is the joke clean?
Oh, it's clean, clean.
Right. We got about 45 seconds. What you got?
Okay. She said, all these transgendered men that have tried to change themselves into females need to remember at around age 40, they still have to have a prostate exam.
It's true. That would be a biological fact. Vic, thanks for your service, man. We're heading to a break, but appreciate you. Thank you very much. All right, we'll
all
see
right. I listen to you all the time, but, you know, I'm a serviceman, so I only listen to you between service calls.
That works for me. Take it to the house with you sometimes, too. That works. We'll see you, Vic.
All right, bro.
All right, man. Take it to a break there, Big Ray. We'll take that break. We'll come right back. Yeah, I mean, we can make jokes about the drag. I get it. But listen, I'm going to tell you right now, we ought to start getting serious, because what I'm about to tell you more about was this blackface stuff. If it's that maddening, if it's that bad, which, by the way, it is, then why isn't drag that bad? Oh, yeah. You guys stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. So I'm in this section right now. I'm calling it Drag Queens and Blackface. All right. Listen, the fact that I'm talking about it does not excuse it. I am not sitting here telling you blackface is okay. It's not. I'm also telling you that the angst about blackface needs to be matched with equal angst about drag queens. It just does. It just absolutely belittles women to watch dudes dress up as women and get out there with all these lampooning characteristics and overly suggestive, you know, commentaries and other. They're literally making a mockery of women. The same way that the minstrel shows and the days of, you know, official blackface and then even unofficial blackface is a mockery of black people. Now, I will say this. You've got to also watch the fact that it means so much for people not to do blackface that sometimes they're willing to accuse before they ever know the facts, like this one. Story that just broke, about exactly 30 days ago, actually. You may recall that back in 2020, there were several teenage boys from St. Francis High School in California who were accused on social media of blackface. They were seen, you know, using blackface and smiling in the camera and all this. And if you look closer, there's a slight green tint to the stuff on their faces. Why? Because they actually took the selfie of themselves all putting acne makeup on. Because they're teenage boys and one of their buddies had this really strong acne problem and they all thought, well, I'll do it. And they all put the acne medication on and they were joking with him about having to have the acne medication and it's green when it dries. But it was blackface in the eyes of the world and all the accusations flew and the school took action and things were done that, you know, impacted their ability to get their education and they were belittled in public and you know, called out and shamed and they just won a massive lawsuit, just so you know. They get $1 million. They sought much more, but they got $1 million. The school system was sued. The school system was taken all the way to a jury. The school system lost. And here's the thing. One of the attorneys for the students said, this case is significant not only for our clients, but also for its groundbreaking effect on all private high schools in California, which are now legally required to provide fair procedures to students before they are punished or expelled. The jury saw through it. They initially demanded $20 million. They decided to settle for $1 million. I think it's each, but I'm not positive. But the bottom line is this. Because blackface is considered to be taboo, and because blackface is considered to be an insult to members of the black demographic, everybody got all up in arms. And that one wasn't even true. And then you got stuff like this. If you're going to equally apply the angst, well, how about Governor Northam? Remember him, Governor Ralph Northam of Virginia? I've got a piece here from the Christian Science Monitor. It says Virginia, this is from October of 2019, by the way, because Governor Northam's not even in office anymore. He finished out his term, though. But Virginia State Delegate Dolores McQuinn was with Democratic Governor Ralph Northam the night that a racist photo appeared. And it was racist. It absolutely was. As a member of the state's legislative black caucus, she was shocked that the man she had helped elect was once wearing blackface. But she said, there's no time to retreat. It's time to teach. This is the moment to turn the pain for all of us into something different. Now, I agree with that, but I also realize that had it not been a Democrat, she probably would have had a different story. But that picture of Ralph Northam back when he was in med school, he and his frat brothers, two of them were dressed up like KKK guys and one was in blackface. So what does that tell you? That was absolutely a mockery. It was horrible. It never should have happened, and it did. But folks, I'm going to tell you, even Kay Ivey, governor of Alabama, apparently some picture arose, and it wasn't, I don't think it was ever clear that it was truly her, and she said she didn't remember it, but she apologized vociferously for it, and I'm fine with her apologizing. I can't explain away the things that used to happen, but I can tell you right now, they're not acceptable. My point is this. As we head to the break, and I'll come back and I'll talk more about drag queens. If you're going to tell us that blackface is something worthy of ruining people's lives over, something worthy of demanding apologies from elected officials, something worthy of trying to have kids thrown out of school, if you're going to tell us that blackface means that much because it actually mocks the people of color, then the reality is this. You got to say the same thing about drag queens because they are literally making a mockery of women. And I personally don't appreciate it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We got more. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, and I mean it when I say it, Alabama. Y'all, I'm talking about. This show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, as you are in go-home time, let me pause for a second and give you something to think about and something free, for that matter. So here's the deal. This is a crazy world. I mean, take note of the subject we're talking about right now, drag queens and blackface, right? I mean, this is a crazy world. Yet here you are working hard to plan for your future, stand up for your own beliefs. And what if you found out that, you know, in the middle of doing that, that some of your investments are actually going to things that are absolutely contrary to what you believe in? Happens all the time. Let me suggest to you that maybe it's time for you to meet Paul Breyer. That's Paul Breyer and the team of PhDs and financial experts at our newest sponsor, Inspire Advisors. I'm talking about financial planning, y'all, that actually considers who you are and what you believe as much as your bottom line. So these are like local, solid experts using biblically responsible investing techniques, data-driven strategies to maximize your return. And they're doing it in a way that has a real impact to your bottom line, like I said, but also on the world in which we live. So I'm going to suggest to you, you go and get something free from them. You ready? If you want to know more about what's in your portfolio, go online to their website. That's www.moneypatternwealth.com, moneypatternwealth.com, and get a free impact report. It's pretty simple. Just download that sucker. Check out what's happening with your portfolio right now. And then maybe you might want to even talk to them about it. That's Inspire Advisors, Paul Breyer, moneypatternwealth.com. You can also find them by going to the rightsideradio.org website, click on the sponsors tab, and just click on their logo and you'll go right to it. Yeah, conservative, godly, balanced. It's financial freedom, y'all, I'm telling you, with Inspire Advisors at moneypatternwealth.com. All right, let's take this thing all the way to go home time. It has been a great show, by the way. It's a double dipper day, man. Although I am pretty sure that the rant that I had in the first hour that lasted for a good half hour, probably qualifies as a dipper of its own. Are you going to post that as a podcast? What you going to call it? Phil's rant or what?
Phil rants.
Phil rants.
Phil rants. I like it. It's got a little roid rage going on or something today.
It's short and elegant.
I don't know about elegant, but okay. Hey, listen, if you want to text in or call in, the number is 833-687-4448. So blackface and drag queens. What the heck, man? Why is one considered taboo, offensive, and causes people to demand justice and get kids kicked out of school and everything else, and yet the other one is allowed to perpetuate when it mocks women? One mocks black people, the other one mocks women. What the heck? What? Why is one considered all right, the other ain't? So CNN ran a piece on this back in 2019, back when blackface was getting a lot of attention because of Governor Northam and other things that were going on. And it points out that, look, this has been a thing. White performers used to start painting their faces black to mock enslaved Africans in minstrel shows even back in the 1800s. It was racist and offensive back then. It's still racist and offensive today. And blackface, it says in the article that I've got here from February 2019, CNN, it's not just about painting one skin darker or putting on a costume. It's actually invoking racism and some painful history and literally just mocking black people. White performers, it says, used to darken their skin with polish and cork and put on tattered clothing and exaggerated features to look stereotypically, what they call stereotypically black, whatever that means. Depicting black people as lazy and ignorant, cowardly, or hypersexual. All these things are listed right now that way in the Smithsonian's National Museum of African American History. They were designed to be funny to white audiences, but the black community thought them to be demeaning and hurtful, rightfully so. By the way, one of the most popular blackface characters of the minstrel days was named Jim Crow, from which we get the Jim Crow laws. So that being said, even Al Jolson, a white guy, became famous in a movie called The Jazz Singer, putting on blackface and singing. Actresses and actors like Shirley Temple and Judy Garland and Mickey Rooney did it in their movies. And it just basically made, you know, black Americans the butt of jokes. And some say it desensitized white Americans to things like the horrors of slavery and racism. Okay. By the way, don't take my comments here as saying that we are a systemically racist nation, because I don't believe that we are. Have we had problems? We certainly have. And one of those has been the question of whether or not it's okay to mock an entire race and get, you know, sell tickets doing it. And it's not. And yet, tell me why we can see drag queens and they can put on, you know, massive prosthetic body parts and, you know, hyper, you know, makeup and big wigs and flowing, you know, clothes, or for that matter, no clothes, and then dance around on stage and pretend to be women when they're really dudes, and they're just flat out mocking women. Remember the minute ago I read the thing from the CNN article? Made them look as lazy, ignorant, cowardly, or hypersexual. That's the thing. That's what the minstrels used to do in the blackface shows. Putting on exaggerated features, it said. That's what it said. I'm reading the article. CNN. Put on tattered clothing and exaggerated features to become stereotypically black, it says. Depicting black people as lazy, ignorant, cowardly, or hypersexual. Wrong all the way around. Wrong from the get-go. What do we see in drag queens? Hypersexualization, exaggerated features, lampooning women. It's the exact same freaking thing. Don't tell me it's not. There's a website that I've discovered called 500 Moms Strong. I don't know much about the organization, so I'm not trying to really tout them. I'm just telling you where the website is. It's 500, the number is 500, 500 Mom, as in moms, like mothers, 500momstrong.org. At the very top of the page, it says, together we can fight the sexualization of children and the degradation of women in our community by making a stand. And what they're literally saying, CBN News ran a story on this, Christian Broadcasting News, says, quote, drag queens are very offensive to women. They are hypersexualized caricatures of women, said Anna Bohach of the 500momstrong.org organization. Says, quote, they mock women, they debase our womanhood and our femininity. And they plan to, you know, take action on it. I'm like, yeah, absolutely take action on it. I mean, I look at this like right here. In March of last year, University of Texas actually canceled, thank goodness, canceled a student-run drag show arguing that the art form was offensive to women. Good for you, Texas. Good for you, Longhorns. So, yeah. Actually, it wasn't Longhorns. It was West Texas A&M. I'm sorry. I thought it was Texas, University of Texas, but it's West Texas A&M. The quote from the president of the university said, "Drag shows stereotype women in cartoon-like extremes for the amusement of others, and they discriminate against womanhood." It said, "Drag shows are derisive, divisive, and demoralizing misogyny, no matter the stated intent." Yeah. I'm just saying. So here's the bottom line, folks. If we're going to get angry about blackface, if we're going to say that politicians need to apologize and maybe even resign from their positions, if we're going to say that kids ought to be kicked out of school and disciplined, if we're going to shout down anybody who has a store where kids came in and put makeup on their faces and had to get kicked out of the store for doing that allegedly, if we're going to say these things matter, then as a society, as a culture, we have to say they matter across the board. It cannot be okay to do it over here with drag queens mocking women and not do it over here. Or excuse me, over here with drag, sorry, with it cannot be okay to say no to blackface and yes to drag queens. Let me jump on the phones before I run out of time. Is that Jeff? Jeff Rowe from Indiana. Save me from myself, brother. What you got?
I've got a little bit different take on this stuff.
Oh,
Bill.
No. What do you got?
I think we've all become a little bit of snowflake. I mean, you I don't care what you say about me or what you think about me. You can't offend me because I know who I am. And, you know, people, black people could make fun of white people. Say if I put on kabuki makeup, I mean, if I was in a play or whatever, would I be, you know, making fun of Japanese? No, I'd just be in a play with kabuki makeup on. Or the show like Hamilton, they got, you know, black people paying white people there. And, you know, if I played a black slave in a play or whatever, I can't see nothing wrong with that. So,
no, and I think that's different. I think to some degree it's different. If you're truly acting out a part and not trying, but when they're doing it for the purpose of mocking is what we're talking about, which is exactly what drag queens are doing. But let me ask you this. If we had a show and we said all truck drivers eat pickled eggs and truck stop fish, would that be offensive?
I think it's funny like you do. Just like you like all your lawyer jokes too, man. If that offends you, then oh man, I feel sorry for you.
All right, brother, where are you out on the road right now?
I'm in Nashville, running about 5 mile an hour.
Well, at least you're already out there to Nashville town. So you know, pass by the Grand Ole Opry and keep heading to the house.
There you go.
All right. We'll talk to you tomorrow, man. Take care.
Have a good one, bud.
Yeah, you too. All right. Listen, I got a bunch of text messages. We're going to get some of those when I come right back. But I'm serious, y'all. This is the thing. Liberals that want you to believe that it's okay over here, not okay over there. That's crap. That is absolute crap. If there's a standard, then freaking enforce it. That's all there is to it. If there's a standard, then it's got to be like, oh, I don't know, a standard. But the standard only fits their narratives right now. That's what's so aggravating. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like making common sense like a superpower. We got a bunch of text messages here. I'll take those. And let me see. Oh, is John? John's already got the grades in. What's he got here? John from Huntsville says, "Big Rig, Phil the Ranter, and Awesome Scott Buttram all get an A triple plus. However, Awesome Scott Buttram gets the win by 1 point over Big Rig and 2 points over Phil the Ranter." Points for what?
I should have played Taco Tuesday one more time. I would have got 5 points.
You probably could have. You know, we talked about them crying about not being able to do their drag queen show, and you were going to hit that baby sound. You got that thing over there?
I do.
I'm just going to go ahead and say, hit the sound. Just... That's not even it. Have you got one that's a crying baby? I thought you did. Like that whole, you wouldn't believe how many buttons he's got over there. You could launch a nuclear missile from this studio. I'm just saying.
I do not have the crying baby.
Okay, we got to find one. All right, either way, we could have played you more sound effects, and I feel certain you would have won. Ron from Tuscobia says, had a very poor showing of the public Saturday in Florence. There were only 14 people that showed up to protest a drag queen show. Well, I mean, and Ron, text me this and tell me how many people showed up to support the drag queen show. Because if the drag queen show brought out, you know, 45 people, and then there were also 14 more that were there to protest, then one third of the people who showed up, or at the very least had the numbers to match. I'm okay with that. It's 14 more than we had before, right? But tell me, Ron, if you don't mind, I mean, was it a big event? I don't even know. If it was huge, if there were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds there, I'd love to know it. But anyway, text me what you know about the attendance at this drag show on in Florence on Saturday. Marcus from Huntsville says, a lot of people don't realize that much like drag queens, blackface was socially acceptable for quite some time. White actors were not the only ones that dressed in blackface. Even black actors would dress in blackface and do performances. But the opposition began to grow, and people started to see it for what it really was, which was demeaning an entire race of people. There's far more women in the world than blacks, so I am not sure why there's not more outrage about drag queens than there is, especially since blackface never targeted children. That's a great point. You make a great point. I think your point, too, is that there needs to be more outrage. And I'm not sure the outrage is that. But how about this? Just say stop. Just say stop. Like, point out that you can't have this double standard and get away with it. It's not allowed. You can't have the rules one way over here and not over there. John from Brownsboro says, should we be upset with the Wayans brothers? I mean, they make some hilarious movies, but they had a movie called White Chicks. They did. They put on a white face and they cross-dressed to get a scholarship to college.
I love that movie.
Literally, that's what they did. Jenny from Decatur says, then there's the movie The Birdcage. Well, see, they had Robin Williams. It doesn't matter what it was. If Robin Williams was in it, it was going to be funny. Except for that one movie he made where he owned a toy company and it was trying to be serious and it was awful. But anyway, Robin Williams, I mean, God rest his soul, that man was a mind like nobody had ever seen before. But when he played in that movie, The Birdcage, yes, he lampooned gay people. He certainly did. And the movie was hilarious. Just saying. Robert from Hazel Green says, I can't understand why the vast majority of people think that everything is racist. What he says, vote Democrat. I think what he's saying is the vast majority of people who think that everything is racist vote Democrat. Because Democrats are victims. That's it. You look at the Democrat Party platform, you will find that the vast majority of the Democrat Party platform is based upon victimhood. Everything about it is victimhood. There's not a whole lot of, you know, the free market and inspiring the American dream and raising people to believe in their abilities under the American system of capitalism and freedom and the Bill of Rights and all the things we have going for us here. No, it's mostly victimhood. They pander to what they call intersectionalities, which is where they divide people up into little bitty categories, and every once in a while they let them get together. Like, oh, you're gay? Okay. Oh, you're gay and you're black. Oh, okay, you get a double. You're intersectioning there. And then you're gay, black, and handicapped? You're a gay, black, handicapped woman? Oh my gosh. You got like a quadruple. You hit the trifecta, and then you got added one more. You're a quadruple. I mean, that's what they do. Democrats love victimhood. They divide you up into small pieces. Their goal is to divide and conquer, because if they got you built into small pieces, when they need to, they can also turn the small pieces against each other. And they do. Classic example right now is the fact that you've got people who are who are trying to march in pride parades are not able to march because pro-Palestinian protesters are blocking their way. And yet some of the pro-Palestinian protesters are queers for Palestine, and they don't know what to do. So they stand in the middle looking a bit perplexed because they realize their intersections are blocking each other and they don't know what to do. Why? Because they spend so much time dividing themselves into little components that they can't even get together when the time comes to get something done. Anyway, all that to say, great show today. Amazing content. You guys are an amazing audience. And I love the fact that I get this constant feedback from the audience. We've got tons of people in the text line right now. And the idea that you guys participate in the show is part of what makes this show so enjoyable. We're going to be back here tomorrow. I suspect we're going to wind up having the Grand Council as always. And then planning the week forward, I look forward to having more great content. In the meantime, keep your eyes on this thing with Hunter Biden. Hunter Biden convicted today. And don't forget the deep irony of the fact that as Hunter Biden was convicted on gun crimes, that his father was at the same exact time speaking to a gun control conference about getting guns out of people's hands, while his son is using an NRA-backed defense of the Second Amendment to explain why he was allowed to have a gun even as a drug addict and trying to get by with it. And no, he was convicted. So now you've got this great dichotomy of the man that Joe Biden says is the smartest person he's ever met, and his son, who he loves, and I appreciate that, was convicted today on the exact same thing that Dad was speaking against at a conference. You can't make this stuff up, people. You just can't. But it's the world in which we live. In the meantime, Right Side Radio is going to be here to tell you how to walk through it all, you guys. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, me and the big rig back here tomorrow. We'll see you then.